That was Bloody Wolf for the TurboGrafx-16, also for the PC Engine Hue card. Thank you once again for returning for the HueCast. Today's episode is going to really rock your socks off. We got a bunch of great musics coming at you, all with a big sweet-ass dash of Vobe. And we're also going to include a soundbite from the TurboFest tour. We're going to hear that later, but for right now, let's listen to some Shadow of the Beast. Thank you. I'm no sergeant, but I really do dig me some military madness. Now let's take it live to the guys over at TurboFest.
Hey, who are you? Welcome to the HuPack.
Just looking at them all.
Yeah, the HuPack's HuCast, so or WhoCast. How do you pronounce it when you say HuCard or WhoCard or ShoeCard?
I don't know. I have kind of the Hugh Grant approach to it, so I've always called it a HuCard.
Huge Grant.
Even though it's, you know, a Hudson, so it should be like HuCard. It doesn't quite sound
does that
right.
Mean? Is that what they did that for?
Yeah,
it's
HuCard.
It's not for, you know, so it's not Hudson.
Yeah, it's short for Hudson, so...
Hadusan.
Hadusan.
And actually, my personal favorite is if you ever play the Hudson DS Bomberman, it'll be like, Bomberman!
Bomberman,
with the extra B in the sound. So you never know how Hudson wanted to actually pronounce things. But, yeah, I always call them Hucards.
Bomber. Yeah, that's how I said it, too.
Yeah, I noticed you guys say
Hugh.
I always said Hucard.
Hucard?
Hucard.
Hucard. That's so crazy.
Well, that or Turbo Chip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. How do you pronounce Turbo Chip?
Obey Chip.
It sounds like some sort of a Dorito product that Jay Leno would have endorsed in the 80s. It would have been like, oh, you know, you got to try the new Turbo Chip.
Hey, you got to try the new Turbo Chip. Yeah, why don't you play the Hue card?
Did you hear about this one?
This is my physical comedy.
I love it.
Perfect for podcasts.
We need more physical comedy for podcasting.
Exactly. It's like I've seen a live show.
So anyway, we're doing a little bit of a retro roundtable here, talking about games.
That's what I like about
usually featuring the Hue cast system of TurboGrafx. The Hue cast system. What system is it that does the Turbo Chips and the Hue cards? Is that the CDI?
That's the CDI.
I love the CDI.
It's the Nintendo CDI brought to you by Philips.
Philips. The Philips CDI.
There you go.
And obviously, you know, the Hotel Mario set of CDI.
Oh, hell to... We are staying in the legendary Hotel Mario here at the Midwest Gaming Classic.
Wait, has anybody brought a Philips CDI yet?
I think there's probably one in the museum.
I don't
so
think there
if you
is.
Go to the museum, you can be bored out of your mind
there's
with a Philips CDI.
Can outside, yes.
I'm actually glad I've got you here, Dan. And we're here. I got Opeth. I got Chop, who just said, "Are you recording this?"
Opie.
Yes. And Brandon and Dragon Master Dan from the forums. And we're just talking here about the best system that's ever existed. And of course, now we're going to have to change subject from the CDI to the TurboGrafx.
Yes.
Sorry.
You said best system, so duh.
Well, now we got to change the subject.
Here's another fun question is, what do you prefer to call the platform itself? Do you prefer to say the PC Engine? Do you call it the TurboGrafx and just using the general English terminology of it?
I do not, sir.
Yeah, true.
So you call it the PC Engine. When you
PC
refer
Engine.
To... So if you say like...
Obey Station, PC Engine.
You know, or is there...
Or Live Gaming.
Because it's kind of interesting. I've noticed that people, for example, in the U.S., regardless of whether or not something is a Mega Drive game or a Genesis game, people in the U.S. will oftentimes call it just Genesis.
Yeah,
but TurboGrafx being kind of a niche platform in the United
true.
States, almost
There's
as many people, at least, you know, going, to, I guess, into today, are more familiar with the PC Engine than they are with the TurboGrafx. And another, I guess, interesting point is Europe.
More games.
Because
yeah, lots more games.
While the system came out in Europe and was called the TurboGrafx No 16 included,
yep.
It only came out in two countries, from my understanding, and like a
One
company
of them
called.
Was Latvia.
No, it was Spain and the UK.
Spain.
Wow.
And yours.
Latvia.
Why not?
Have you guys
right?
ever heard of the SuperGrafx?
Of course, we've heard of the SuperGrafx.
Yes.
There's one here sometimes.
It's quite rare.
It's not really rare at all. It just didn't sell particularly well. You see, the thing about the SuperGrafx is that there's only five games that actually take full advantage of its SuperGrafx capabilities, and two games that have a few minor enhancements, which are really only one game because one is a boss rush of the other, and that's Darius Plus and Darius Alpha. And to go over a couple of the other SuperGrafx games, you've got two Capcom ports. The first one is Dai Makomura, which is Ghouls and Ghosts in the U.S.
Not Ghosts and Goblins.
And, no, it's not Ghosts and Goblins. It's the sequel. And it's actually a very, very good port. There's also 1941, which is the rarest of the SuperGrafx games if you're trying to buy it in the aftermarket. It's the only one I don't have besides the Boss Rush Darius Alpha.
It is the priciest game.
And it's a cool shoot-em-up game if you like playing Capcom ports. It's a game I have on other systems, so at some point I'll pick it up to finish off at least having all of these SuperGrafx games.
SuperGrafx.
Where did you get the Duper?
I like the Duper. Actually, I'm going to start calling it the SuperDuperGrafx.
That's right.
It has a new name. It has been coined.
Absolutely.
But thank you, Dan.
There's two exclusive games to the SuperGrafx, both of which are actually pretty good. And the first one is Aldines, and I don't know how much experience any of you have in playing Aldines.
Isn't that the, that's the...
It's the shooter game.
It's the shooter, like...
Okay,
that's right, yes.
It has
a really nice, sprite design to some of the bosses. There's some great environmental variables in the levels. It's one of the better shoot-em-ups on the PC Engine platform, as Opethian likes to call it.
Not the Turbo platform.
Not the Turbo. Well, it didn't come out for the TurboGrafx.
Yeah, right.
You can't put Aldines or Aldines
came out in the Super
and a TurboGrafx.
It did. Well, it's kind of interesting where the graphics came from as well, and I guess we'll touch on that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But what I was going to mention...
Nice segue.
...is Aldines is one of the really fun, better shoot-em-ups on the system and on the platform, and I think it's a game that's underrated because it is a TurboGrafx game, and you know, most people can't play it with standard hardware.
Yeah.
The other one is actually Granzord. It's a reasonably inexpensive game. I had picked it up and heard it was similar to Keith Courage. It's a much better game.
It was the so it's not the sequel to Keith Courage?
It is not the sequel to Keith Courage.
I've been living a lie.
It is a much better game than Keith Courage.
I thought it was just the mech part of Keith Courage.
Exactly.
That's what I was assuming.
It doesn't move. The mechs don't move as fast. No, his name isn't Keith or even Wataru Boy or whatever it is.
Wataru.
Wataru.
Hey.
It's Jim.
It's Jim,
Jim
Power.
Granzord.
That brings us to Jim Power.
It's kind of interesting just naming him like Keith Courage in the U.S. One thing that always kind of struck me, kind of going to another Turbo-related topic, is Sega did East 1 in the U.S. before NEC did, but
starring
they changed everyone's name.
Aaron.
So it was I think it was Adam.
Aaron.
Adam.
Was it Aaron?
I think it's Aaron.
It might have been Aaron or Adam.
Aaron
but,
Christian.
But they started just kind of changing all of the names around to where it's like, you know, remember everyone probably who's played Eastbook 1 and 2, there's a great dramatic scene where you come across Dark Fact. And obviously in the TurboGrafx version you have CD Sound and it's, ha-ha, I am Dark Fact. He's very intimidating. But when you're playing it on the Sega Master System and they've changed the names around, I don't remember exactly what he's called, but it's just like, you're facing the Dark Lord named Kevin. You know, it doesn't have the same level of intimidation that does the
Dark Lord Kevin.
I'm the Dark Lord.
That's my neighbor's pool boy.
But that and
my
of course,
friends call me Kevin. You will call me the Dark Lord.
There's a great deal of underwhelming music as well.
Go back to work.
Because I played the TurboGrafx version of Eastbook 1 long before I played the Sega Master System one. Okay. So going back and playing it, I remember getting ready to step out of the town and hear the... And we hear coming out of the Master System, you're like, what the...
Is it different?
It's the same music, but it's so underwhelming.
It has so many
as
less
a chip
channels
tune
of sound.
Yes, and it's just... the tempo
less
is
than
off.
Nintendo,
The funny thing is, I actually like the sound that comes out of the Master System in a lot of cases. There's a couple of Master System games that have great sound, but Eastbook 1 is not one of them. But now that we've gone completely off topic and basically ruined the podcast for Josh,
we'll get back to the
super duper graphics.
Now we're talking about the best system in the world.
Is this the PC Engine Master System?
The PC Engine.
Yeah, so we're
awesome. Best in the world.
I think that I've always personally called it the Turbo Graphics or the Turbo Duo because, like, in 94, wasn't like TTI pushing it as just the Duo? Like, the games, the CD, Super CD games would say Duo on the bottom, and they were it's just Duo now. So I was always saying Turbo Duo and Duo and Turbo Duo.
It's like dropping the Cougar and
But by 94, NEC or TTI was, you know, basically closing their doors and, like, clearancing stuff and running things over with a steamroller. But that's another story entirely.
Well played, sir.
I've always called it the Turbo because I grew up with the Turbo Graphics, and I don't know what your guys' backgrounds with the systems are, and I don't know if this is something you've touched on in a previous podcast, but I first encountered the TurboGrafx shortly after Christmas in 1989. I had a friend of mine, and he had like three brothers, and when they would get Christmas gifts, it would be like shared between all three of them.
Okay.
So for the three of them, they got a regular U.S. TurboGrafx and a few games. So the first game I ever saw played was Keith Courage, and though people like to rip on it... Well, though people like to...
It is, yeah.
People like to rip on it.
Right.
At the time, it was actually really cool to see because the robot sections, the mech sections, move very fast. It was extremely colorful with
the
rainbow.
The rainbow, it takes you up.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at that... But when you look at that and you see...
Get that baby out of here.
How colorful that looks and how fast it moves compared to games that were on the NES or Master System, and how much more colorful it was than any Genesis game as well.
That's true.
Because I had seen Altered Beast. Yeah, absolutely. A lot less brown.
36 shades of brown.
With Keith Courage,
come on, man.
At the top of
they expanded the brown palette on the game. They did a lot with that palette.
Obviously, yeah, it was called Wataru, is what it was called in Japan, and you can find lots of action figures and
tans.
Other things for it.
Light tan, dark tan, brown tan, brown tan, tan brown.
There are other Wataru games on other platforms besides the one on the PC Engine.
You know what
answer your
they
question.
Should have put, like, with the TurboGrafx 16 as their package, title package?
Well, there's lots of other... Here, I mean, the problem was that Bonk was not available when the TurboGrafx 16 launched as far as producing an alternate pack-in game.
No, I know, but I'm just saying they could have packed in...
Well, and they did that in Europe actually. I believe in Europe there were two different pack-ins. Blazing Lasers is the more common one that I think was sold with the UK system.
Yeah.
I believe in Spain they were shipping it with Alien Crush, but I've not heard consistently about where and how, and I've never actually seen the Alien Crush bundle out there.
Yeah.
But I'm familiar with the fact that it exists, and but kind of going back. You know, the TurboGrafx was how I always referred to the system because that's what I grew up with.
Yeah.
And I remember looking in the back of, like, video games and consumer entertainment.
Yes.
And you would see order forms for the different systems, and there would be CoreGrafx 2, SuperGrafx. And I knew these systems were related to the TurboGrafx and were the Japanese versions of these.
Right.
But I didn't know what the differences were, and perhaps more importantly, I didn't know how that was different than this thing that they were calling the PC Engine, which I eventually found out were all the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
rough.
It's kind of confusing, and it's interesting that NEC went to start naming the systems graphics probably around, I guess, 88 is when the original Core Graphics came out. Does that sound right? So, you know, they had started the graphics branding on the PC Engine sometime earlier, you know, long before it had come out in the U.S. in Japan. And I almost think that if you wanted to do a region-neutral branding for it, rather than calling it Obey, PC Engine, Turbo, Turbob, maybe graphics would be all-encompassing. What do you think?
You know, that's not a bad idea, because then you got Super Graphics, you got the Core Graphics, you got Turbo Graphics, and everything else.
Right.
Yeah, but it could kind of be whatever you grew up with, though. It's hard to say, I'm going to start calling the NES something else now.
Right.
Or the Super NES, you know, something like that.
Like, in the neighborhood where I grew up, I never even knew what a Turbo Graphics was, because where I grew up, it was just called the TG-16.
Yeah.
It was always known as the TG-16. So when I first heard of the Turbo Graphics from Josh here, I was like, what is a Turbo Graphics? And I saw the system, I'm like, oh, that's a TG-16.
Well, you know, what that is. But, you know, for example, people who are living in the United Kingdom wouldn't have called it the 16 at all, because they left that part off of it. It was merely the Turbo Graphics.
No, I think that, like, it's interesting because, like, the TurboGrafx sold so far less units than the PC Engine did worldwide in the world. So, like, the PC Engine name was all over game magazines as far as, like, importing games and whatnot. But, like, in comparison, like, the Genesis and the Mega Drive, like, I assumed the Genesis was sold worldwide, but I really never thought that it had a different name outside of the U.S.
I mean, in looking at those old diehard game club ads that used to be in the back of EGMs and eventually diehard game fan magazine that existed, I eventually found out what the differences were, but the actual, like, individual units, like, what's the difference between a Core Graphics 2, a Super Graphics, a PC Engine, I had no idea until the days of the internet what the differences between these units were.
Right.
And that was something that they probably had a bit of a problem with even in the U.S., was making the distinction between what the add-on CD did, what the Duo did.
Yeah.
And that's another problem as well, is that you had multiple system cards, which created a level of confusion. You had a lot of different variables that tied into consumer confusion over the platform.
Yep.
So, as far as what to call it, I suggest graphics. As a general name that's
graphics.
A region all-encompassing.
But you see, we all obey it. So I'm going to say obey.
Like,
it's your play. I'm going to be obeying tonight. I'm going to get some obey in.
Yeah, we can go the
obey encompasses all the systems.
Yeah, obey.
So kind of going off to the other, or onto a new topic here.
Well, hold on 1 second.
Interesting fact. I've known about.
All right, well, welcome back to the HughCast. We're going to keep talking here some more about a new topic. And that was the perfect way to introduce things. Anyway, we got Opethian, we got Brandon, we got Dan, Dragon Master Dan, and myself, Joshua Turbo, and Ashley, if she wants to shoot in her opinion every once in a while. We're actually going to talk about what we consider the worst TurboGrafx or PC Engine game in existence today.
The worst.
So you can't go and throw in, like, Insanity. Well, actually, you can if you wanted to. Because it's, I do like Insanity.
Well, I mean, it's Berserk, and Berserk is a fun game.
But it has better
with
music than Berserk.
It has much better.
I don't think Berserk has music.
It has an awesome death screen.
It does. It is very
kill screen.
It is a good
kill screen.
The kill
screen.
Yeah, absolutely cool looking. And again, the music is great. And you know, that's a fun game to play. But there are games on the TurboGrafx that aren't fun. And I also kind of want to make one other distinction. There are things that are not games. Magical Dinosaur Tour is not a game by anyone's stretch of the imagination.
Well, you know what, though? And I kind of actually like that game. So, even if it isn't much of a game.
It's not really a game. It's not that I dislike it. It's not a game. It's
educational. It's got some interesting animations.
And we can also talk about the Hawaiian Girls games and whatnot. But those aren't even games either. That's a slideshow.
It doesn't necessarily have to be something that is generally considered like awful controls, awful music, awful everything by everyone. It could be like, you know, you got bad energy something too. But you can go with your own personal like game that you just despise for whatever reason it is. For me, and I'll start off, my least favorite TurboGrafx game is Drop Off.
Drop Rock Horror, or whatever you call it.
I think it's a terrible game. I don't think it's so boring.
Cover is pretty awesome.
I don't know. I understand there's like some backstory to it where you're in bed and there's that monster reaches
through.
There's
no backstory. Or whatever it
is. I played the game and I was really excited. I brought it home and I'm like, oh, a puzzle game. This is going to be really cool. I can't wait. I hope it's like, you know, Tetris or Dr. Mario or something, because the screenshots look like this big puzzle game. And it was just awful. The gameplay is not fun. The music's terrible. I thought this must have been the type of game that they charged $49 to $59 for back in '89. And some kid got it thinking, oh, I'm going to get some big 16-bit game. And he turned it on. And it's like, this is a piece of crap. It's Drop Off. And I was, that's my least favorite Turbo game. I just hate it. I think it's terrible.
As far as games I got as a kid and were horribly disappointed with, I'll go over what I think is the worst game on the U.S. TurboGrafx, and then I will go over the game I was most disappointed with at the time when I was growing up. So to start with, my least favorite game on the TurboGrafx is Night Creatures.
Oh, come on.
Now, the thing about Night Creatures...
That is a good game.
It controls like shit. You have
Ghost Manor
earlier. No, Ghost Manor at least is playable. There's some decent platforming. Yes, you will slide and fall to your death in aggravating ways a lot. But Ghost Manor is
like the game. I guess it's decent.
Ghost Manor controls better. You know where you're supposed to be going and what you're supposed to be doing.
Night Creatures is pretty terrible.
Night Creatures controls poorly. You don't know where you're supposed to be going. The combat
exploration is open.
The hit detection is terrible.
It's Shenmue. It's Shenmue for the TurboGrafx.
Exactly.
No, it's like it's a incomplete, poorly configured and the controls really off version of like a Shadow of the Beast or like a what's the other one? Shapeshifter. So you got to think of it as like that. It's something like that.
Right.
Shapeshifter's fun. I like Shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter is competent. We'll go on a quick ICOM rant here. ICOM made mostly shit terrible games. There are a couple of exceptions. Beyond Shadowgate is decent.
Which is amazing. Not decent. It's amazing. That's an A game.
Camp California is playable.
I hate it.
Now,
that's it. It came from that.
That's it. That's all I need.
Now, the other game speaking of Camp California, the game that when I was a kid I had that disappointed the hell out of me and made me aggravated outside of the music was Yo Bro.
Yo Bro.
Oh, I don't, you know, that's not
now
bad
you
either.
You touched on my game that I hate the most.
Yo Bro?
Yo Bro.
Yo Bro? Have you guys ever played 720, the skateboarding game?
It plays better than Yo Bro does.
It's kind of it's just like it. They're very similar. It's quirky. It's goofy.
If you think about games that had skateboards and you go back and play them, like old 8 and early 64 games, Skater Die, those games are terrible. They were popular, but they...
Skater Die is fun.
Bad control.
It does have bad control, but they're not bad.
But Yo Bro was just... The one cool thing about Yo Bro is I admittedly love the PCM or, you know, I guess PSG Beach Boys tunes.
Yeah.
That is the best part of the... It's better than actually listening to real Beach Boys songs. That's...
well, okay.
Whoa.
Wow, this is going to go...
Hold on, are you going to start ripping on the Beatles next, Dan?
I will. They're overrated.
They're just ripped off blues scores, is all it is.
It's everything from England is overrated. We'll start with Shakespeare and move down.
Wow, now you're going to get Josh death threats on this podcast.
But no, Yo Bro is a game that, again, controls poorly. It's not fun at all, except the most fun thing is hitting pause and listening to the music.
Yeah,
which is what I do.
Yeah.
I like saying Yo Bro. It's kind of
Yo Bro.
Well, not only that, it also has a really irritating, like, it's a bear with his hat turned upside down. And a slingshot.
That's cooler
than
that.
Bear Simpson. I mean,
what's cooler than that?
He's Bert. You know, I mean, I know we think he has an actual name because the other kind of crazy thing about Camp California is the intro song isn't a Beach Boy song. It's like Byron Bear. He's a really cool dude.
Yeah.
Oh God. You know, they wrote that like a while.
Oh, and now Josh remembers.
Well, no, Camp California is really weird because they basically took the engine from Shapeshifter and like threw it on this platformer that is broken, and some people would really enjoy it. And maybe if I put the time into it,
you can't tell what's in the background. Or the
I don't
foreground.
Like it.
You put time into it because 5 minutes yeah. into it, it's just like, oh, why am I playing this?
I'm out of gas and I can't run my Econo.
I can't get to level 2. Like, what's going on here?
Right.
Get the gas can.
Oh my god.
Sounds like I've only had good turbo experience. But not bought any of the bad games.
But yeah, your bro is terrible.
I only know one, and he told me not to say it.
A game that you don't like.
If she says it, it's going to cause it possible.
That's the only one I know.
A game that you don't like.
No, yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Go ahead.
What's the game you don't like?
I'm afraid to say it.
Just say it.
Just say it.
Keith Courage.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine.
I can't say.
We got lucky.
I was disappointed in Keith Courage for sure. It's not Super Mario World and it's not Sonic the Hedgehog, and I was hoping it was. That's
it was the first game I saw on the game,
yeah.
And it didn't turn me off of the system, so it can't be that bad.
No, it wasn't a turn off. It's just it's so underwhelming. It's like, wow.
I wasn't really impressed.
But the game was so cool when you were 10 years old playing at a kiosk at EB.
Well, here's the thing about Keith Courage. It's a great game as a demonstration of what the system can do. It has nice looking sprites. It has, you know, good looking. It controls very well. The level design is the big problem. And even the music is cool. The level design is the big problem. The levels are too similar. There's not enough enemy variety. There's not enough variety in the towns or the stages. So once you've gone through the first level, everything is just
a very
slightly more elaborate version of that. And you spend time killing kitty cats and, you know, collecting coins to buy better
stuff. The cheese cats. The cheetahs, but they come down like pieces of cheese and then they rain. Cheese cats.
I don't think the game was unplayable. I think the game was just too repetitive.
Keith Courage?
Yeah.
No, it's no drop. It's not drop.
I mean,
that's unplayable.
When we compare it to Night Creatures or compare it to Yo Bro, those games don't play well at all. You know,
no, I'd say that the game that you suggested as your least favorite is the best of the ones we're talking about.
Easily.
Although we haven't heard Oaks yet. What is your least favorite TurboGrafx?
Least favorite PC Engine game? Man, I'm going to say the first game that really disappointed me when I was first getting in the system was Browning.
Wow. Browning.
The controls are terrible. It looked cool because it was a mech game. I mean, it was just...
You know, just for the record here, we just went through 5 people's least favorite game, and Energy was never even mentioned. Energy was never mentioned.
It was fine, but they found one worse somehow.
Right. That's awesome.
And Energy is definitely not a good game, and Evan, I stand by that.
It's the Mega Man of the PC.
It's just as good as Mega Man.
Someone has said that. That's quoted from somebody that I won't call.
It's the Mega Man for PC. No, Shockman is the Mega Man for PC.
There you go. Great game.
I like Shockman. Shockman 2 is fun.
I actually like Bravo Man as well. Speaking of, you know, Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mixed with
Mega Man or
a little. I mean,
Doctor Bomb.
But not a bad game at all.
So you said Browning. What's up with Browning? I don't know if I'm familiar with that game.
I've never played that.
Isn't that a mech game?
It is a mech game.
Okay.
It is like kind of like Vegas.
Vegas Tactical Gladiator.
Like, yeah, it's kind of one of those like Mad Stalkers, but
okay.
You know, it's like it's not quite a beat 'em up. Like, you could say platformer mech game.
Okay.
But the controls are just terrible. It's slow. It's not very responsive, and it's just. It looked like it could be like this awesome game.
Yeah.
You know, a mech game. Come on. How could you screw that up?
It's just pretty disappointing.
It's just garbage.
Is it a pricey one, too?
It is dirt cheap.
Oh, really?
It is a really cheap game.
Okay.
And for good reason.
Now we have Matt Turner, a.k.a. Matthias. What is your least favorite TurboGrafx/PC Engine/graphics game?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know that title.
I've skipped out almost all of
the bad games.
The bad games.
Come on. You've had to have picked up a couple turns.
So you've never played a Darkwing Duck, an Energy, a Tailspin,
nope.
A Falcon, a Gunboat?
Nope. I played any of them. Was it?
Gunboat?
No.
Like Gunboat?
Nope, not played that one either.
So you've never put a game into the system, started
the Gunboat.
Why am I playing?
It's the never fun boat.
He's pleading the fifth on this.
Yeah. Wow.
He doesn't have... there are no bad games that
I
played.
I really am.
A game that you just were totally disappointed with.
Yep.
I guess
somehow got
really that's the only correct answer, really, when you think about it. There are none.
There just are none.
Now, I guess to kind of go in another direction, what is your single favorite TurboGrafx / PC Engine game?
That might be easier.
Yeah. Too yeah. many.
I always, it's always like my mood. Honestly, like, I, damn it.
Depends on what kind of music I'm into.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of good music.
I go to Lords of Thunder all the time.
There's a lot of good music.
I like Dracula X.
Yeah. Of the limited collection that I do have, I would have to say my favorite so far is Legendary X.
Ooh, the first one?
First one.
See, and I actually like the second one better.
Okay. I don't have that yet.
You gotta get it. It's really good.
They're both good games. Now, yeah, if I were to say my favorite, I'll go in two different directions here. My favorite... Who card, as Opethian likes to put it, you need a Horton, here's a Who card.
Horton, here's a Who card. Or are we talking about Hugh Grant's card?
But no, my absolute favorite Hugh card is Air Zong / PC Gengen.
That's a great game.
Now, my favorite CD is East Book 1 and 2.
That's a
and
great game.
Speaking of music, that game knocks it out of the park.
Wait, what?
No, speaking of, we were talking about CD music, as he mentioned before.
Oh, yeah.
But if there's a game I want to pop in and just listen to the music to, Eastbrook 1 and 2 is it.
Yep.
Yuzo Koshiro at his finest.
Yeah.
Outside of Super Adventure Island.
Okay, you could do this. You could say, for Hugh Card, my favorite... damn it, I don't know. I would say Air Zonk or maybe Bonk's Revenge. I also really like Order of the Griffin. That's a really fun game.
Kadash.
I don't know. Kadash is fun, but it's not one of my favorites. But like for CD, I'd say East Book 1 and 2. And for Super CD, I could say Lords of Thunder. Or Beyond Shadowgate. Or Dungeon Explorer 2.
Or are we breaking it into that? Like, for CD-ROM 1.0.
Okay. Like Rondo of Blood.
I like
it. Oh, yeah.
I need to play a 12-year-old girl in a pink dress.
So it's like for CD-ROM 1.0, I'm going to pick no recall.
I got too many. When I first started playing the Turbo with C, I played Bonk. I love that game. And then, like, Alien Crush. You guys remember that one time we had the tournament with Crazy Mary here?
Crazy Mary came.
Did she hear this year, bro?
I haven't seen her yet.
Slacking.
She's... We gotta get out and spread out and find her.
Right. No, so we need to have another Alien Crush.
The trail of Alien Crush.
She's gotta break that record.
Get out of the way!
Alright, what's your favorite, Ope?
Favorite. Wow. Jeez. It's kind of like one of those mood things, you know? It's just whatever I feel like listening to. I like.
Was there a Browning 2?
There was a Browning 2. I don't know. I don't think there was a Browning 2. They're better now.
The Reckoning.
I mean, I like Air Zonk is one of those games.
Yeah.
PC Dungeon, just amazing music.
Yeah.
Great gameplay. One of the games I saw at Toys R Us and we played for hours because they were on the system at the time.
Yeah. They're like, we're closing. You're like, stop it. I need to finish the game.
I'm at the boss rush again. You can't close this on me again.
Yeah. Gate of Thunder. That's another one that's like mind-blowing.
I can probably do
it. If you want to
narrow
cheat,
it down.
If you want to cheat, it's the Gate of Thunder 4-in-1 disc.
Yes, that's my favorite disc.
There we go.
Yeah.
Probably for a Hugh card. Dungeon Explorer, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
It's got such an atmospheric soundtrack to it.
It is.
I love the music to it, for sure.
I love Dungeon Explorer's music, and the gameplay is great. I've beaten it twice.
Nice.
And for probably CD, Spriggan. Spriggan's got a really nice soundtrack.
Nice.
And that was the first PC Engine game I ever had.
And it's compiled.
Wow, Spriggan.
I forgot the CD game. Yeah.
So that's mine.
Dracula X.
Dracula X.
Oh, there you go.
That's
kind
of like, you don't even have to say it. Yeah. People that don't even like the PC Engine,
right.
They don't give it up for that.
They'll walk in, they're like, this is the system that has Dracula X, right? Yeah. Put it in.
And I mean, that game and East Book 1 and 2 are far away from one another.
Yep.
I'm more of a RPG player than, you know, any other genre, and because of the RPG elements of East Book 1 and 2, I go a little bit in that direction. The other thing is that that's a game that I grew up with because it came with the Duo. So,
You're a little biased on that.
What's up?
Yep. A little biased on that.
Well, a little bit, but I mean, I actually got Dracula X through Die Hard Game Club.
Die Hard Game
Out of the back of Game Fan Magazine.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And...
I'd like to say it was like $100 or somewhere in that neighborhood, and it was shortly after Christmas in 93, not quite to New Year's, and I, you know, would call the 818 number, and they're like, yep. And I'm like, oh, awesome. And I'm thinking, you know, I had bought imports a few times before, and I'm thinking it would be like $60-$70, and I'd like to say it was like $100 or $109 or something. And I wasted quite a bit of Christmas money on it, but it was worth it because that game was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out until the advent of the internet that there was branching paths. I never knew.
You just took the high road. Wow. And everything.
I took the main road the whole way. I did, you know, unlock Maria and everything else as time went on. But I didn't know about the sub-levels until, you know, 1997, where I went on the internet and found...
Oh, I can fall down here? And
I'm yeah.
Like, yeah. Isn't that amazing? Oh, God.
Oh, it's another level.
Yep.
It's so perfect. It is. It is just an amazing game. I think that's the Castlevania that feels like the most similar style to, like, Castlevania 3, but, like, a 16-bit version of that.
Yes.
And it, like, opens up the replay value of going through the game different ways, and fighting different bosses, going different directions.
Well, and what I'll say about Castlevania Rondo of Blood / Dracula X and East Book 1 and 2 is that those are games that utilized familiar tactics for making 16-bit games. At the same time, taking advantage of the CD format by providing excellent music, voice acting, and cutscenes that wouldn't have been possible using the standard Huecar or cartridge mediums.
Fluent German in a Japanese game? Come on.
Right.
Come on!
It was not fluent German.
Come on!
Yes?
Come on!
Well, it was very bad. Well, for one thing, when they were summoning Dracula, it did not sound very good, yes?
Yes, it did. Thanks, nice. Klaus.
Thanks. Here, you're all welcome. Well, you know, we need to get Roger in here as well.
Thank you once again for joining us for the WhoCast. I hope you enjoyed today's look at games like Shadow of the Beast and Bloody Wolf and Military Madness. We're going to close out with another very, very difficult game. This game's for the Super CD-ROM, and all the music was actually composed by the legendary Chris Hulsbeck, one of my absolute favorite video game composers. I just wanted to say thanks again for you to join us today. Really, it's a pleasure for me to bring you the music, and we absolutely enjoy hearing comments and suggestions and ideas from you guys, so please feel free to contact us either on the PC Engine FX forums or on our Podomatic podcast stream. Go ahead and comment there and subscribe and let us know what you guys would like to hear and any ideas of things you'd like us to change or make better or whatever. We're here for you guys. It's your podcast, and it's a very special podcast because you're listening. Now, we're going to close out with some Jim Powers. See you guys next time.